Welcome to the Soma Heart Podcast. My name is Jenny. I am your guide, your host, your friend on your spiritual and growth journey. Today, we are going to be talking all about the dance between receiving and trust. And I know that this is a really, really big one for a lot of women out there. And perhaps there are some spaces in this podcast that you've maybe never been invited to look at before. So I invite you to go and grab your cup of tea, your coffee, your cacao, your kombucha, whatever your favorite drink is, get nice and cozy, get your headphones in, and I hope you enjoy this solo episode. So today we're going to be talking about the dance between receivership and trust. And it's a really big one. And it's one that often gets overlooked because, you know, as a culture, we tend to focus on external action in order to get the things outside of ourselves so that we can reach the goal or, you know, get to where we want to be. And that makes a lot of sense. We have been programmed to a heavily dominated, achievement-based mindset where we measure our value and we measure our success on our productivity and the quality of the result that we produce, right? Like, how good are we compared to other people? And we celebrate being able to do more than we did yesterday, right? We wear like busy as a badge of honor, and we become obsessed with optimizing, streamlining our whole lives for more efficiency so that we can fit in more of all of these things that we think that we should do. And when you think about it through that lens, it is really, you know, it's no surprise that we are living in a society where burnout and anxiety and overwhelm is so prevalent these days, where people are really coming into question of like, who even am I? I don't even know anymore, because we are being stretched so thin within ourselves, and we are accepting those beliefs and we are taking these things on and stretching ourselves thin, right? Because we don't see that there's another way. And so even as I kind of speak all that out loud, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing for this podcast, this whole like optimizing, streamlining, efficiency, busy, more, like I feel, even as I say those words, I can feel the tightness of it all, right? This control paradigm that really takes over to keep us in check and to keep us following the pathway that culture and societal norms have set for us in order for us to have a quote unquote, like happy and successful life, right? Happy and successful is defined by somebody that's not us. A lot of the time we don't even take a moment to truly tap into what is happiness for me, like what is my soul telling me is happiness and what is my soul telling me is successful. And we don't even think to take a moment to redefine those measures of happiness and success. And it makes so much sense, right? From a very human level, why we operate in this paradigm of external action and producing, because for so many of us, we received love achieving. The foundations of our patterns are embedded when we are children. They get imprinted when we are really young. And so, you know, there's often these celebrations when we're little, when we do something well, you know, we start to walk or start to eat food by ourselves, and that gets celebrated. And so we fall in line, so to speak, with what is expected of us, and that becomes part of our operating system. But the thing here is that as we grow, this idea of celebration kind of shifts. It's, we are still wanting to achieve and do well because that is where we receive our love. But maybe the celebration piece, we can develop new beliefs around that. And this may not be true for everyone, but I can definitely reflect back on my schooling years where, you know, if you were too show off, then that's not okay. Or if you like celebrated too much, then that's not okay. Or if you got like grade A's or the best grades, then you were a nerd. And so there is this other kind of belief system that comes in that says like, be good, but not too good, right? And so we have this inner conflict within us, this desire to achieve and to do well so that we are celebrated by our parents or our caregivers and that we receive love. But like, don't achieve too much, or if you do achieve, like, let's not shout about it. It's about moving on to the next thing. And so there's also this piece here where, you know, if we do something really well, where we don't let it land in our bodies, we don't let it sit with us, we don't find the moments to really be proud of ourselves, and we have all of these other beliefs that override that, you know, these beliefs that we're not good enough, we're not enough, all the things that come up, which really makes a lot of sense, because this is always part of the process that every human goes through. This is all of the wounds that every human is carrying around on some level that is hiding underneath the surface. And so it can be really confusing when we are navigating success and achieving, which a lot of us continue to do, versus celebrating and really being in receivership and really like letting ourselves have the wins. And you know, it makes sense from our negative bias perspective. Like, we want to move on quickly. We'll always look at the flaws. If you get 95% on a test, you always look at the 5% that you didn't get right. Right? Maybe that resonates with you. And so, as I was saying, like, the truth is that underneath the surface of all of this is that we have these energetic blocks. Or, like we said, and underneath the surface, you don't believe that you're worthy of receiving, right? And so what happens here is that we tend to get caught up in this cycle of performing and doing more and striving to be XYZ, usually for someone else, and it's usually not aligned with our soul path, so that we can achieve more, so that we can feel loved. But that feeling of love may be a split second, and then we move on to the next thing. And so all of this external focus, this hyper focus, really pulls us away from our core desires and the opportunities to deepen trust within ourselves. And we miss those moments. We miss the moments where our body is calling us and leading us back to our center. And so we get this, you know, this big cavern of trust between where we are and where our soul is and where our body is. And it just gets wider and wider. And this disconnect really just separates us further from our truth. Receivership really is an inside job. And it requires us to really sit with ourselves and learn how to be with ourselves. And it enriches our lives without us needing to do more and become a space where, you know, it becomes a space where we get to fully claim our desires unapologetically. But there's a lot that happens between where we are right now, if we're closed to receive, and then shifting into that space where we really do get to fully inhabit our bodies and fully claim those desires. And so there's a real invitation here to connect with that space, right? Connect with that highest vision, that highest version of you who is receiving everything that she really wants completely unapologetically. And then look at your relationship with receiving as it stands today, right? What is the gap? And receivership can happen in so many ways. I think that's a really important piece to point out before we continue the conversation. Receivership can happen in so many ways, and there's so many channels and avenues that it can work through. And so your relationship to receiving might look different for each one, whether that's receiving a compliment from a stranger or from your partner. Maybe they're different, maybe they're the same. Or maybe it's vocalizing your needs to someone, like, hey, this is what I need. And being able to receive something from somebody, receive support, whether that's physical, emotional, financial, whatever support you need. Or even your capacity to receive pleasure in an intimate moment with yourself or with a lover. You know, like, it's that question of how present can I be in those moments to truly receive what's being offered? And then noticing the judgments that are coming up around these spaces, right? And that's, again, that's always an invitation on somewhere to look, somewhere to explore within yourself. And okay, where did that come from? Like, going into the root of these beliefs and how they are presenting in our current lived experience. And all of this, right, and more, is invited into the conversation when we look at our relationship with receiving and when we talk about the energy of receiving. Because the energy is so different. When we spend all of our time focusing on the achieving of goals or giving ourselves to everyone else because we have really poor boundaries and we're agreeing to hold their stuff, right? Some of us become, I call like an emotional like garbage dump for other people's emotions and other people's stuff. Then the energetic field of me, like where I am and where I end, is so full. We take on so much and there really isn't much space left within us to receive what we want, right? All of our energy is moving forwards and outwards when we are achieving. And that's not to say that achieving or having goals is bad or wrong, because that helps us to move forward, right? It's a really beautiful structure that we can have in our life. Or that it's not saying that we shouldn't care for others or hold space for them and be like, no, I can't have space for you because then I don't have space for my desires. That's really not what it's saying. But it's really about asking that question of, do I have enough space for me right now? Do I have enough space for my desires and for my needs, right? For example, if you're calling in a partner, let's say you're looking for a partner, do you have space? Truly ask yourself, do I have space within myself for that? And this energetic space can also look like, how is your home ready to receive a partner? Is your schedule ready to receive a partner? Right? There's so many energetics at play where we can do some work within ourselves and also a little outside of ourselves in order to be able to receive the things that we really want. And like so much of how life goes, right? I laugh when I think of this because it's so true. And as soon as you start to do personal growth work and inner work, you notice how comfortable you've become in life, right? And this is across so many parts of life. We get so comfortable with life as we know it right now that we don't see the possibilities that are waiting for us to grab them. And we don't experience our limitlessness because we are carrying around these blocks that keep us limited. And we fail to get curious about the receiving level that we're currently at so that we can get curious about the receiving level that the woman we are becoming holds, right? Does that make sense? It's like when you are only looking one way and you're so comfortable and your neural pathways are having like the best time because they're just like doing their thing, like firing and wiring, like same every day. And you're seeing the same people every day and having the same kind of conversations and the same patterns. And when we're not consciously bringing awareness to how our life is and how our life has been up until this point, then we miss everything else that's happening. We get so like, it's like a horse wearing the blinkers, that we don't see what is happening outside of our reality that we've created. And we're so comfortable here, even if there is pain and even if there is sadness, because we know the pain and we know the sadness, right? So we're like, we're totally fine with this. And then because receivership and receiving is really a piece of growth that gets overlooked, right? And it's a really deeply rooted in our nervous system piece as well. This is why a lot of manifestation work doesn't work, because we are trying to receive at a level that is too big for us to hold. We're trying to receive the $1 million when our body's like, yo, all we can actually take right now is like a six figure, like 100K or whatever numbers feel good for you, right? So we fail to look at our receivership piece. And so when we do that, and when we're not curious about ourselves and we don't ask ourselves the right questions, how could we ever expand and grow into the next level of receivership, into the next level that, you know, that version of you that already lives within you is already operating at, but she's just not at the wheel yet because there are some pieces that need to fall away, right? Our next level of expansion is always there for us. across all areas of life through our identities, our receiving paradigms, our attachment styles, right? Every way that we can expand is available for us. Our next level is always waiting for us when we are ready to get curious and let go of some of the old ways. But the thing is, you know, we as women, we're really programmed not to receive. We're programmed not to have desires, not to want more or ask for more. And there's so much labeling that has happened over the last generations about women and receivership, especially when it comes to money, right? Which is so connected with receivership and pleasure. Women weren't even allowed to have a bank account in the US until the 1960s, which at that time still needed a signature from their husbands. And it wasn't until 1974, when the Equal Credit Opportunity Act passed, that women in the US were given the right to open a bank account on their own. Isn't that wild? That's only 50 years ago. That's only 50 years ago. And so if we look back, right, women have historically been conditioned, rather than being the breadwinner, rather than going out and having all of this responsibility in terms of like how things are in society, and we get conditioned to be the caretakers of society, the nurturers, the caretakers of the husband, of the children, to follow that blueprint of you will be a girl, you're going to learn how to bake bread, you're going to learn how to sew, you're going to learn how to clean the house, how to do your hair within the 7 styles that are appropriate, you know, like all of this, all of these rules that women took on, they had to follow these. And these were all the caretaker rules. There's also caretaker for women in terms of like during the war, right? Women were brought on as nurses. They weren't allowed to be doctors, but they were allowed to be nurses. So there's always this subordination here. And while many of those roles, if we want to think about it, they were really the backbone of society, right? The women are leading from behind. They just didn't quite know it, or many of them didn't quite know it. But the narrative that was presented really told a different story. It's one where women who weren't submissive to their husbands were seen as disobedient. You know, women can't be trusted with money, that we're irrational, like we should be happy with what their husbands give them, like we're not smart enough to work or we're too weak. And this is really just like beliefs from the last 100 years or so. It's really not that long of a time. And so, of course, it makes sense that a lot of this is still playing through in our ancestral lines today. So our caretaker role has taught us, right? On one side of it, it has taught us to hold a lot, to hold things for our husband, for our communities, for our children, for our families. And at the same time, not to ask for a lot, to be grateful, right? A lot of it is, you know, women have to be everything for everybody, the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect daughter. And back then there was definitely some pretty solid rules on what the perfect wife was, right? She was the wife who never said no to, you know, sex with her husband. She was the mother who dressed her daughter or her children appropriately to send them to school on time. She was the woman who always had her house pristinely cleaned, you know, and always had to do it with a smile. It's just wild. And this has been so embedded within our society and our ancestral lines. It's this long lineage of women who are caretakers, and it's really embedded in our core. It goes so, so deep. And so it's really no wonder that, you know, when we think about this today, as we've started as a society to kind of peel and pull away from this like very outdated and traditional role or roles that women had, and women have fought for equality in our society, that we've developed these other mechanisms, right, as a result of that deeply rooted pattern. The good girl, the people pleaser, the perfectionist, this need to do for others in order to receive love, in order to be accepted, in order to belong, whatever it is. And so That's why we find it so difficult to even come to know our own desires, to really know what we want from our lives, let alone declare it or claim it, because we're not taught to think about it and consider our options in a very deep way. And so we go along with what we have been told is appropriate. And we turn our gaze away from our desires because they can make us feel uncomfortable, right? These stories that are inherently attached to them because of these ancestral and societal pressures, these stories where guilt, shame, and fear would rise up if you were to really spend time looking at the things you really want to receive in your life. Or the belief that brings the question, you know, did I earn this? Did I do enough to earn this? Like, am I really worthy to receive this thing? And we start to challenge, you know, the measure of worthiness through our external input in order to allow ourselves to receive what we want, right? It's this idea of, if I sacrifice or if I give enough, then that means I can receive a little bit back. It's never a one-to-one though, right? And then the question here that we get to ask ourselves is like, when will it be enough? What more do we need to be worthy? How will we know? And the truth here is that, you know, you're already worthy right now, in this very moment, and there is nothing more that you need to do, nothing more to prove, nothing to produce, to receive life, to be worthy, because you are. And it was always here. You were always worthy. It never went anywhere. You just stopped seeing it, right? And that's not your fault. That's because of all of these external, societal, cultural things that have been piled on top that have dimmed your light. And so now you simply need to be willing and open to remembering your inherent worthiness and coming back into relationship with it. And be willing to open and ask for and receive what you really want and to feel it in your whole body that you are worthy. And to let worthiness permeate your cells and vibrate through your whole being so that you embody this energetic space, this energetic field that welcomes in your desires and receives the things you want and need in your life and does it in a way that feels easeful and peaceful and pleasurable and fun and joyful and all of the feelings that you want to feel. It's about what you want, not the desires of what society has taught you to want, right? We're going beyond the, oh, I should have this, or I should have this, or everyone else is doing this, so I guess I'll do it too. We're like going way, way beyond that. And we're tuning in and deepening into our core desires. What would you desire if you knew without a shadow of a doubt that it would all go your way? Like, what else? What else? What would you ask the universe for if you could have it all your way? Right? And feel that rise up from the core of your soul. Feel how that sits in your body. Does it expand you and excite you? Or do you want to move away from it, right? That could also be, maybe it feels too big right now. The body is always, always, always communicating with us. It really is this beautiful bridge between the mind and the soul, between the external and the internal. Our body is always, always communicating with us. And this here is where the trust piece comes into this dance, right? Because we cannot truly deeply receive without trust. And we build trust through coming into relationship with our bodies, our hearts, and souls, and strengthening our discernment muscle to know what is true and truth for us. And to be able to know, is this something that I came into agreement with to desire due to a program of the past? Right? Did I decide this based on somebody else's judgment? Or is this truly something that is in resonance with where my soul is leading me? And trust can feel tricky, right? Because what if we do all of this inner exploration and we let go of these old identities that are holding us on to these old stories about receiving life and claiming our desires, but then we still don't receive them? You know, what then? And that feels really scary, right? this, what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't work for me? And the fear rises up. And that makes a lot of sense that it does, right? Because we're human and because we tend to make a meaning out of things, and our negative bias weaves its way into that meaning. And then, you know, the usual suspects kind of become alive in us, the complex feelings of, oh, I'm going to be rejected, or I feel angry, I feel sad, I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed. If I ask for too much, I'm going to be abandoned, right? And so that's why trust can feel tricky, because we are saying to ourselves, like, I trust, I trust, I trust, but our internal and unconscious actions or non-actions, the pattern playing out, is actually one that does not nurture trust. Which, of course, makes sense for our human selves, because stepping into the action of asking for help and asking for support from the universe or from your partner, or family, friends, is really, really scary. It requires us to be vulnerable, right? Vulnerable with where we are at right now. And oftentimes it's one of our ego identities, you know, a mask that we are wearing. And it wasn't created for vulnerability. This part of us was not here to show weakness. And, you know, oftentimes it's trying to protect us from that possible rejection. It's trying to protect us from feeling or being abandoned. And so it doesn't feel natural to be vulnerable. It's not comfortable being vulnerable. And because we haven't let ourselves be vulnerable in so long with ourselves or others, it really feels like a very constrictive and tight place to be. And so we tend to avoid vulnerability. But by avoiding vulnerability, we push away what's possible for us, because we close a very, very big door, right? Rejection's such a big one. And it can really make us feel many complex, many uncomfortable feelings and emotions that are physically difficult to sit with in the body. And although there may be, you know, anger or frustration there, let's say you're in a dynamic where there is a rejection, right? Someone says, no, I can't support you, or you have a desire and it just doesn't happen in the way that you wanted it to happen, or it doesn't happen at all. And we can have this anger and frustration there. And usually underneath the anger and frustration is the sadness, the shame, and the guilt. And so when we can learn to sit with the rejection and the feeling of being rejected and hold that within ourselves and know and trust that it's never about you or who you are as a person, right? When we stop attaching a meaning to it, and when you're in a secure relationship with yourself and you know that you're inherently worthy and hold all these beautiful qualities as a human and all of the beautiful things that get to be in the world simply because you're here, we get to reframe the rejection in a really empowering way and trust that this path was not meant for us, rather than making it mean something about us. Right? Rejection is redirection. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. It is a very frequent phrase in the growth spaces. But the thing is, you know, we can only accept that reframe, right? We can only accept that rejection really is redirection when we let ourselves sit with the discomfort of the rejection. Because we're still going to feel it, right? Like, we're still human. And none of this work, none of the inner work should ever be about eliminating feelings or not allowing something into our experience. And trust that if we are not receiving something, that there is always a higher reason for it. There is always something better on its way. And to align instead to our soul and our soul's path, right? When we're feeling the rejection, sit with that discomfort. Let it be present in your body. Let it move through you. And trust. Lean into trust. Right? And I know that these are words, and I know that maybe where you're at right now, you're thinking, gosh, like, where I am, that cavern between me and trust is really, really big. But this is where we get to be really curious and compassionate with ourselves and love ourselves through this process of building trust within our bodies, with building that relationship to ourselves, right? And this is really this dance that we participate in as we move through life. This asking for what we desire, right? Being vulnerable enough to ask and to proclaim that, and then trusting in the outcome of it all, no matter what the outcome is. Trusting that if it comes your way, it's because it's meant for you. And if it doesn't come your way, it's because it's not meant for you. And this really is like a practice. It's a practice to return back to trust within ourselves when we experience these lower vibrations that don't feel good in the body and challenge our ego parts. Because there will be moments in life where you really, really want something and you really desire something, whether that's a material thing or a promotion at work or, you know, calling in a certain amount of money. And we put our focus and our energy on making that happen for ourselves, and then ultimately it doesn't work out. And often then we feel disappointed, right? And then maybe we enter into a process within ourselves where trust is challenged. Makes sense. And whether that's within ourselves, right? Whether we feel that we no longer trust ourselves anymore, we don't trust the nudges, we don't trust what we're being called into because it didn't happen. Or whether we feel like, you know, the trust is broken now with the universe, with the divine, or with a friend, whoever. And in these moments, we get to recognize that this moment in time, what is happening right now, right? We come into embodied presence, coming into the moment. This is an invitation into my next level of growth, right? Where you get to hold yourself through this moment, through this not working out, quote unquote, in a really beautiful way, and feel the truth of the experience, right? So let the emotions be present in the contraction. Because it is, when things don't go our way, we want to close and shy away and pull away, and like things feel tighter and we go like, oh, it's a defense mechanism that we have. But through feeling everything and allowing those emotions to be there and be present, they get to move through you and they don't get stuck in the contraction. And so as we let things move, our body will organically begin to open back up once the contraction has completed, right? Once that cycle has completed and moved through your body, the space will open and we get to surrender back into trust. We get to see that moment for what it was, which was a growth opportunity. I mentioned at the beginning that trust really begins with being in relationship with yourself. Right? We have to begin to listen to our bodies, listen to the nudges, learn what yes and no feels like, set boundaries. And the more that we come to nurture and care for this relationship that we have with our bodies, the softer your edges become, right? There is a softening that happens. And so when that happens, you get to receive life fully and you get to receive the things that you desire. And the more you let go of old past identities that tell you that you can't have the things that you want, or beliefs that you shouldn't want the things that you want, or that you need to have a good reason for your desires or sacrifice anything to get what you want, which are all just, with love, programs of a restrictive, wounded patriarchal paradigm, the more you normalize trust within yourself, right? Because let's be real, we don't trust easily. It's not normal for us to trust straight away. We have a stack of evidence within our conscious and unconscious. We have a whole filing cabinet on why we shouldn't trust ourselves, on why we shouldn't trust the universe or other people. We have all of this evidence and these experiences to say, well, it didn't work out this time, so let's not do it again. Right? And it's woven into the narrative and like politics and TV shows and, you know, even the toxic spiritual communities out there, which there are a lot of these days, where people are making promises about things and it's not truth. And so there is a part of not trusting that can actually be really healthy, where we get to be really curious again and have this strong, deep knowing of our sacred yes, our sacred no, how those feel in our bodies, right? To understand when things feel expansive or contractive, if we want to move towards them or away from them, and have this deep knowing and begin to build trust with that deep knowing before we start just blindly trusting everything. So that's absolutely not what I'm saying here. I don't think we should all be walking out in the world just like trusting every single person and every single moment and all of the things, right? Like, we need to discern what is true for us and where we want to put our trust. But it always starts with ourselves, right? Building that relationship with ourselves and our bodies to come into trust with ourselves so that we can discern what we are trusting outside of ourselves. It's always an opportunity that we get to explore when we feel this contraction. And I think this is something that we often misunderstand. We see the contractions in our life as like always these big red flags or these big things that are saying like, oh no, this is not the right way for us. And we take it as more of a setback or more of a negative, let's say. I don't love to use the word negative because there is no positive and negative, right? Like everything is just vibration. But we get to actually look at these contractions around something. And when our trust gets ruptured and cracked around this, you know, this experience where we're feeling the contraction, we actually get offered this possibility for growth. This possibility for growing into the next energetic level of receivership and trust, which we can only shift into when we sit with the discomfort and the difficult emotions and welcome them all in and let ourselves hold them, right? Going back to the beginning when we talked about energetic field and space, it's like, is there a space within me to receive the things that I want to receive? And the reality is that as we grow and expand, we want to receive more. We want to receive more abundance, more joy, more excitement, more fun, more play, more money, whatever it is you want to have more of. And we have to strengthen that muscle, that capacity to hold more. And the way that we do that is by sitting in the discomfort, right? I know that that goes against all of the love and light narrative that's out there, but hey, this is a new way of growth, and this is where lasting growth happens and slow, steady, sustainable growth happens, is by learning to be in those moments of discomfort so that we can expand into more. And the thing is, right, this is never a one and done situation. Transformation happens and healing happens in an upward spiral. We always come back around and we see things through a new lens. We see things, you know, from the level of this new version that we become as we began to expand and grow and ascend up the healing spiral. So it's never just done, but we get to get stronger the more that we sit with our contractions, and the more that we are with them, and the stronger we get, the less hijacked we become by our emotions. Because very often we let our emotions take over. We have this big emotional wave and we go like, oh, it's all happening, right? The anger, the frustration, the fear, the sadness, all of the things. And we let that take over us. Whereas when we can learn to really sit and build that relationship within ourselves so that we become really strong and trustful and safe within our bodies, then we can hold more for the expansion. I hope that made sense. There's a lot in here. This is a really big episode. And I just want to share that this is really part of the work that I do with women in my individual coaching containers. I hold space for women for 3, 6, or 12 months. And also this is the work that we do inside of the Soma Heart Program, which is a 12-week group container. So if this resonated with you, right, and you're witnessing yourself in this and you're seeing yourself in this, and maybe there are some gaps in your ability to receive and to trust your desires, then I encourage you to reach out to me. You can always fill in a short application or book a 20-minute call with me. This is a no-obligation call, so we can really sit and chat and connect and see where you're at and see if working with me is the right fit for you. And I always, always, always invite potential clients to truly feel in with their bodies how it feels, how it would feel to step into a container with me or to step into the group program with me, because I want it to feel like something that you want to move towards. Maybe there's like a sprinkle of fear, right? There's of course these programs, but I want it to feel expansive and exciting. So I'm going to leave all the details down in the show notes below. Otherwise, I wish you the most beautiful day, and we will see you in the next episode.